See everyone tonight. A little bit chilly out there. We wish our crowd was up. We wish we had more people, but we do what we can, and we got a lot of people right now who are sick. We need to be praying for them that they'll recover and be able to get back out again. Now tonight, we're going to talk about how we can go out into the world, look on the bright side, and be the light of the world. And the question really is, what influence are we to have on the world as Christians? When we go out into the world, what kind of influence can we have? Jesus talks a lot about this. And after Jesus gave the Beatitudes, which are found at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, we immediately see that Jesus begins to challenge people's concept of themselves. First, Jesus, he tells the people, "You are the salt of the earth." That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Now, salt's a preservative. Salt is an antiseptic. Salt is a seasoning. And there have been many sermons preached on that. We're not going fully into that tonight, but we're going to cover it here briefly. It's important to see that Jesus tells us there is a big difference between God's people, who are considered the salt of the earth, and the world. Because the world is the opposite of salt. It's lacking goodness. It's lacking godliness. Doesn't mean people can't do good things. But in general, they're not doing them for the right purpose. And they're not doing everything that God wants them to do. And there's an interesting thing about salt. Salt works because it's different than what it's being applied to. So when a Christian is in the world, they should stand out. They should be different. And maybe that's by helping someone in need. Maybe it's by not joining in, those participating in some activities that we see out there. You know, it could be bad language, inappropriate language, becoming more and more the norm these days. You just try to listen to something and there is cursing throughout. And this is not new. I mean, you listen to some books. I was talking about military books. You listen to some of those books and it tells what those guys were doing over there. And when we get together, sometimes we get in a bad way. But I'm just telling you, we don't want to join in with that. And we talked about this morning how you can be within something and not be wicked, can't you? We're out there in the world every day. We can do it. It's difficult, though. So today we're going to cover another of the Lord's challenging statements. And really the same principles apply to this one as well. How can we be a good influence in a dark world, a world that is lacking light, to be honest? If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. This is our Lord speaking. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now I ask you to imagine, what did the average member of Jesus' audience there think when he was saying that? Because this was a new thing to them. We've heard it many, many times. They may have been thinking, well, I knew that. Some of them were probably thinking, well, I knew I was a good person. I'm the light. Another one may have thought, I'm a light? Are you serious? Me? And then another probably didn't even know what he was talking about. What is this guy talking about? Because Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in things that were sometimes difficult to understand. If you had to think about it. And probably they were all of those types of people. But whatever they thought, I believe there was surprise and wonder and amazement at the intelligence of Jesus. And let's look at this idea that God's people are the light of the world. And we need to understand, before we go into the rest of this sermon, Jesus' view of God's people. Until you see yourself and others as Jesus sees you, it's hard to go on with this sermon and understand. So let's look at the light a bit more in depth. So you are the light of the world. It implies something about the world, doesn't it? Just as in Jesus' statement about salt, Jesus implies something about the world. The world is in darkness. And we sometimes get involved with the world. It goes okay for a little while. We don't see how dark it is, but then sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes it reveals itself, which is a strange thing to say about darkness, but it does. So, darkness describes the condition of the world. If we look in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, I'll go ahead and read this for you, but through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness. So these people are sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Jesus came to take us out of darkness and bring us into light. And light describes Jesus, and darkness, it describes the world. Jesus is the light of this dark world, and He should guide our lives. It's very difficult. There's so many people wanting to guide our lives. Apps on our phone. You know, meditate. Do this. Do that. Read two times a day. This is what you read last year. Here's what you were doing a year ago. All these things are constantly reminding us of the world and that it wants to guide us. Take more pictures. Use our app. You know, get on this social media. Whatever. But we should let Jesus and what He wants us to do be the main guide of our life. In John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, we read, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So many, many men and women, they love darkness more than light. When light shines, it reveals what they're doing. And we know that. When do you go to a bar? Do you go during the day? Well, some people do, but most of the time you go at night. And these things, it's always been that way. It's nighttime is when these things start to happen because it does disguise. It does cover to a degree. So, people do feel shame, regardless of what they will tell you. They do, and that's why they get angry if you reveal some kind of sin in their life. We all do. And that's also, I believe, why it sometimes is difficult to read the Bible. Because the Bible is going to reveal things in your life. Because we all sin, right? We're all sinners. So we need to overcome that and think more about what God wants than ourselves and even than our ego. And that's very difficult sometimes. So darkness describes that which Jesus came to overcome. John 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And that life is here, but it's also going on into eternity, isn't it? If we follow Jesus, we will overcome the darkness of this world. And it's the only way to overcome it. Otherwise, we are going to end here without the approval of God, and then we will truly know what darkness is. So, the world, it thinks it's free, but it's actually living in darkness. And when we look at the world, they'll tell you that they're free. They're doing what they want. You shouldn't be able to tell me what to do. All these things, but they're not free. Sin enslaves. The Bible tells us that. And when you become a Christian, you're no longer of this darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us, after we become Christians, we are all sons of light and sons of the day. And the Apostle Paul explains how this darkness affects us as humans in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And we see all those things there that are incorporated in that. Lewdness, it's greediness. Maybe it's greediness for pleasure. It's something that you want to do. You want to fit in. You're wanting things more than God, and that's something we have to all watch out for. We've all done that at some point in our life, matter of fact. So, it's the mind of man that is darkened, and that produces a dark world. And man can harden his heart against God. We talked about that this morning. That's a very scary thing. That means he begins to think he is wiser than God, knows what's right and wrong better than God, sometimes will shift the doctrine of the Bible to fit something better. And he thinks that his own will is greater than God's will in his life. That can happen. And when we choose our own way, we become ignorant of God and the godly way of living. And this is happening all over the world as we are sitting here tonight. People are making up their own rules. They're doing things. And they're saying that those things are all right, even though the Bible says that they're not. And so if we could all follow the Bible, the New Testament, if everybody in the world did, the news would just go broke. Because if it bleeds, it leads, typically. We know that. And the wars would all end. There would be no more bickering. Everything would be perfect. Matter of fact, that would be called heaven, right? And that's what we're striving to get to. But we do need to incorporate that as much as we can into our daily lives and try to influence others to get as much of that into the world as possible. But we can never, despite what the song says, make heaven a place on earth. This is not going to happen. So, eventually, these people, they become past feeling. And they give themselves over to sin. And as we were talking this morning with evangelism, you tell people, eventually you have to let them go, right? Like the rich young ruler, like Jesus did. He told him about it. He chose the other direction. What can you do? So in the same way, you can become past feeling and you can give yourself over to the evil of the world. And we have to allow people to do that in some way. God is not stopping them, so we try to stop them if we can, if we have a law or something that we can do. But overall, people do have free will until the judgment. So, let's move on here. You are the light of the world also implies the people of God. The people of God, the Lord's church, are the hope for the world. It's God's people as a source of hope to a dark world that Jesus had in mind with this statement. All of you sitting out there, you're all the hope of the world. And you may not think of that, but you are. Because there is only one church. It's the Lord's church. And the Bible even says, and I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but that God does not hear the prayers of the wicked. And if we're not in Christ, what are we? So we have to be very cognizant of the fact that our prayers are very important and that we do need to pray. We need to pray for the world. We need to pray for situations. Pray during the tornado. It's very important. Now let's consider what light does. First of all, light, it eliminates darkness. And if you go into a room, it does not take a lot of light in order to eliminate darkness. And all things will be illuminated. So light exposes sinful activities of a dark world. And it also exposes the cause of the darkness, which is evil. It's basically Satan. John 3, verses 20 through 21 tells us, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." There's nothing to be embarrassed about if you're doing the right thing. But if you're doing the wrong thing, if that's exposed, it's a problem. We feel bad about that. So when we shine as light, evil will be exposed. And it will be seen for what it truly is. And there are some ways that evil tries to escape and hide from the light. And one of them is by disregarding it. Make a joke of it. Saying Christians or people who believe the Bible are uneducated or silly. And you may have experienced this in your life at some point. But it's definitely happening in our culture. Another way that evil flees from light is by speaking evil of the light, saying it is unloving, maybe saying that Christians are bigoted, or that they do not accept people for who they are when they are not the ones not accepting the Christians. So that's very strange. It doesn't logically make sense, but we won't get into that. So the truth is that the light is the only way, and the light is the Word of God. Light shows us the way out of darkness. And I'm going to read you a little illustration here. Sin is like a cut or break in an electric wire. There must be a perfect connection from the source to the light bulb before there can be any light in the bulb. Sin separates our connection with God. Forgiveness is like a splice in the wire. It doesn't take a brand new wire to complete the circuit, but there must be a wire in which every single break has been repaired. Sin separates man and God. There is only one way to get back to God, through Jesus Christ. So someone in sin needs someone to turn on the light. Someone in sin needs someone to point them in the right direction, to help them splice the wire back together to make a clear connection so that they can be connected again with the forgiveness of Christ. And we function as light when we're out in the world. With our words and our actions in our lives, we show forth the light of God. Now, two statements by our Lord in Matthew 5, verses 14 and 15 demonstrate that light is intended to illuminate and to be a beacon for those in a dark world around us. First of all, Jesus says you can't hide a city set on a hill. And if we think about a cold night when you're out, you can see the warmth and the light of a city far away. We don't know as much about this. I bet back in the horse and buggy days, I bet you knew about that because you were probably freezing and you would see that off in the distance and you'd be so happy because you're nearing that light. Another one, no one lights a lamp and then covers it up. And you don't. Why would you do that? Why would you cover a lamp? You know, we have a little lamp shade to keep it from hurting your eyes, but we don't cover it up with a blanket. That would be completely ridiculous. It wouldn't work. So what we do is we place it in the room where it can give the most light to all the people, you and those surrounding you. And if we're to be the light of the world, two things have to happen. We have to make our own lives illuminated by God's light, being a good example. And God's light is Jesus. It's the Word of God. And then we must live as people who are the light of God. And that means being out in the world, being a good example. So I ran those two together, but that's the main thing. When you're out there showing people your light, you're showing people the Lord's church. You're giving them a taste of it. We have those people that stand out at the mall and they give you little samples. Well, really, that's kind of what we are. We're somebody that stands out there, give the little toothpicks, and we're letting people sample that and see what a Christian is all about. And hopefully they'll want to partake in that. Ephesians 5, verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So remember we said that Noah walked with God this morning? We want to walk in the light. And that will mean that we are walking with God. And light really can only do one thing, and that's shine. It shines, it illuminates, it brings things into view. Matthew 5, 16 tells us we should let our lights shine before men, that they can see our good works, and that then they will what? Glorify the Father. It goes in that order. Now, we want to remember, we want to shine so that others will see our good works, and so that others will glorify God. Because when they glorify God, what are they going to get? They're going to get eternal life. They're going to be saved. And we think of all the people in the tornado and the damage and how these workers came in and they were trying to save these people. That was for their life, which is about this big. What about their eternal life? And that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but it's something we should think about because that life is far more important than their temporal life here on earth, the little one. Now, the people currently in darkness, when they do receive that light, they can become lights themselves. And that's really how Christianity spread. Somebody became a Christian, and then they spread it to other people. And look how far advanced we are. People trying to kill Christianity left and right. And they're not able to do it. It's impossible. Because it spreads, and one light ignites another light. And here we all are tonight, some 2,000 years after the death of Christ. So, the challenge Jesus presents with us with is a big challenge because it summarizes all that God is and all that He is doing in the world. And in 1 John 1:5, it tells us, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness is in God. And we're trying to give just a little bit of that back to the earth. So the question is, will we accept the challenge of being a light of the world? Are we going to accept that? If you aren't a Christian tonight, the first step to becoming a light is to obey the gospel. Then you're going to be a Christian, and then you can tell others about Christ. You can start to shine, and then maybe that person will tell another and another and on and on. We learn how to be a Christian not from the darkness of the world, but from the light that is the Bible, the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that we need to hear the Word of God. And in Hebrews 11:6, we learn that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent of our sins. That means turn away from them. We learn that in Luke 13, verse 3. We need to be baptized. That's immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38. And then we need to live faithfully, always be in that light throughout our lives. And if you're ready to become a Christian tonight, ready to become that light, and you need baptism, you can come now. And if you need the prayers of this congregation, come now as well, as together we stand and sing.